KORC is looking for volunteer local reporters to tell the stories that aren't getting told. So if you have something to share, an expert opinion, or even just anything cool you think people should know about, write us at info@korcfm.com and let's talk. And join us on Sundays to hear local news, interviews, and stories that aren't getting told anywhere else.
The views expressed in the following program are those of the writers and producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of KORC, its underwriters, or community airwaves.
You're listening to KORC News, Music and Civics. I'm Trevor Sayre with your Corvallis City meetings for the week of February 12th, 2024. On Tuesday, February 13th at 6:30 p.m., the Historic Resources Commission meeting will be conducted in person at the Madison Avenue Meeting Room, 500 Southwest Madison Avenue. The meeting will also be conducted virtually. See CorvallisOregon.gov for details on how to attend the meeting online. On Thursday, February 15th at 10:30 a.m., the Climate Action Advisory Board CAB meeting will be held virtually and in person at the Madison Avenue Meeting Room, 500 Southwest Madison Avenue. For details on how to join the meeting virtually, see CorvallisOregon.gov. Also on Thursday, February 15th, but at 4 p.m., there will be a city-county joint work session. The meeting will be held in person in the Calabuya Building at 4500 Southwest Research Way. The meeting will be also held virtually. See CorvallisOregon.gov for details. And finally, on Saturday, February 17th, from 10 a.m. to noon, Corvallis City Councilor for Ward 8, Tracy Yee, will be holding Government Comment Corner in the lobby of the Corvallis Benton County Library. Feel free to stop by to say hello and ask questions about your local government. 645 Northwest Monroe Avenue here in Corvallis. For KORC News, Music, and Civics, I'm Trevor Sayre.
It's time for Beaver Tales, all about Oregon State sports from your KORC sports guy, Lava Lamp Larry. Talking about Oregon State Beavers, man, that's what we've got. We've got lots of sports to report. It's been a very busy Beaver week filled with basketball and gymnastics. The Lady Gymnasts took on UCLA at Gill last Friday. Sorry, but this report has to be recorded before we get some of these results. But the next gym meet is next Saturday at Gill, so you have plenty of time to plan to get to that one as OSU hosts Stanford. You know, it's hard to say what's going to happen to these types of matches next year when all the familiar schools shuttle off to far-flung conferences. And while it makes perfect sense for the Beavs to be sporting partners with the likes of UCLA and Stanford and, yeah, that other school that's up the road in Eugene, but alas, UCLA and USC, Washington and Oregon will be moving back east to the Big Ten Conference, and Stanford will be way back east in the Atlantic Coast Conference, even though Stanford, the campus, is about 30 miles from the Pacific Ocean. It's a new and weird world order. Let's talk basketball. The men's basketball team dropped a home contest Thursday night to their last remaining Pac-2 partner, Washington State. The Beavs are now 11-12, and they played Washington yesterday. Now, next week, they go to Tempe for possibly their last matchup with Arizona State, who moves to the Big 12 Conference. Then they come back home to play the rival Ducks on Saturday, February 17th. Get your tickets for that one. And the question is, will that be their last matchup between Oregon and Oregon State in basketball? Certainly hope not. Meanwhile, the Beavs women's basketball team is on a tear. They're now 18-3 on the season after last week's win over the Ducks. This weekend, they'll have just finished matches with Utah and Colorado at home, and then they go south next weekend to play UCLA and USC. Beaver baseball starts February 16th. That's like next week. Baseball in February. But those games, of course, will be in Arizona. You won't see the Beavers playing baseball in Corvallis until March when, gosh, as we all know, the weather will be perfect for baseball. Okay, well, by the way, the baseball team is rated 7th and 9th nationally in 2 preseason polls, so a lot of is expected from the Beavers, and they're ranked number 1 in the Pac-12 conference in its last year. I keep saying that, don't I? All right, well, that's the latest Beaver Tales, Oregon State Sports, from me, Lava Lamp Larry, for KORC.
On Tuesday, February 6th, the Benton County Board of Commissioners proclaimed February 2024 as Black History Month in Benton County. This was recorded at the commissioners' meeting the morning of the proclamation, which was read by Christopher Eubanks, the first VP of the Lynn Benton NAACP.
So Black History Month provides a unique opportunity to celebrate and honor the invaluable contributions, achievements, resilience, and cultural heritage of African Americans who have played a vital role in shaping the history and identity of the United States. And acknowledging and preserving the experiences and contributions of African Americans contributes to a more comprehensive understanding of our shared history and promotes unity, diversity, and inclusion within our communities. And the ongoing struggle for equal rights, accompanied by the rich scientific and cultural contributions of African Americans, have paved the way for progress and continue to inspire future generations to strive for excellence in all areas of life. In 2024, Black History Month highlights the rich and varied contributions of African Americans to music, literature, the visual arts, and all aspects of contemporary culture. Benton County is committed to fostering an environment that values diversity, equity, and inclusion, and recognizes the importance of promoting awareness and understanding of Black history. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed that the Benton County Commissioners do hereby recognize and proclaim the month of February as Black History Month in Benton County. We urge all residents to take this opportunity to learn about, celebrate, and reflect upon the countless achievements and contributions of African Americans to our community, our nation, and the world.
Thank you. Would you like to share any events that you're aware of in the community for Black History Month? Does the NAACP have anything going on?
We do. We have a robust set of events, so get your calendars out. Starting with this Saturday, there's going to be a movement fair, Lifestyles of Healthy Living, and that is going to be in the Albany Library from 10:30. It starts at 10:30. It's going to go for a couple hours. You can join us at the Art Center afterwards for a Black artist in residence that's going to be doing artwork there starting around noon. And let's see. Our culminating event, this is a really good one, is February 25th. We're going to be having Local History, Black Women in Law and Politics, a panel of local legislators in the legislative and judicial branch of Black women in our area, locally and in the state, will speak on the importance of representation in politics for Black people. And that's going to be at the Corvallis Museum. And you can check out our website to RSVP for that.
Thank you. I know that there are also events on the Oregon State University campus. So check out OSU's events calendar if you want further events to celebrate Black History Month. Do I hear a motion to approve the proclamation?
I would like to proclaim February 2024 as Black History Month in Benton County. It's Proclamation 2024, A001.
Second. All in favor, please signify with an aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks. Have a great rest of your meeting.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is Phil For Real with KORC. I'm outside the Old World Deli. It's the first Sunday of the month, and that means there's an open mic. They call it Open Two Mics every month here, the first Sunday. And so as I stepped outside here, I see we got a local musician over here tuning up his mandolin, so I'm going to let him speak on the event. So you want to tell him what's your name?
Hi, I'm Kevin Jeffries.
So are you from Corvallis here?
No, I'm actually from Southern Oregon. I did a little bit of gigging down there, and I'm just trying to get on the scene. Hope I get to play tonight.
Oh, sweet.
It's packed.
Yeah, it is very packed. I actually drive up here from Eugene, so I got here not really late, but a few minutes before the event started. And yeah, there's two full pages. What do you think about these vents? I know you were at the other open mic at the Bombs Away. So how do you feel? How important are open mics to you?
Oh, they're absolutely essential. Like any up-and-coming musician, anybody who's just trying to put something out there, even if it's just a little ditty that you made yourself, but like singing your heart out, or if it's, you know, you just learned your first song. I mean, any opportunity to build confidence and build community with music, I think that's the spice of life.
Okay, great. And then anything else you want to say about this?
No, I just hope I get to play. This place is packed. It's like it's a great turnout.
Yep, so if you want to check out some local music, come to the Old World Deli. They have events every month, but first Sunday of every month, starting at 5 p.m., is the open mic. So I'm going to let this guy over here tune his instrument, and I'm going to get going and hopefully get some more interviews. So this is Phil Farrell with KORC, and I'm here outside the Old World Deli after the open mic event, and I'm here with the two hosts. You want to tell us your names?
Hi, I'm Kaylin.
I'm Allie.
And you two are the hosts of the event, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
We are the hosts.
And not only the hosts, you're also artists as well. You both sing, correct?
That's true.
This woman is a beautiful singer, and I love to sing with her.
Both have beautiful voices and do great up there. So what do you guys want to say about the open mics? Like, how do you feel about just providing such a great service to the community?
I feel great about it. It fills my cup, and I love it.
Yeah, it feels really great. We have so many incredible people who come and play every month, and every month there's new people, and it's been such a blessing to our personal lives, but also just to have the community kind of like meet each other and kind of be in the same space for a while. It's really, really nice.
So I was asking some artists during the event what they think, and they just said how important it is just to have a place to get out there, and it's, you know, there's not as many as we'd like, so we all appreciate this one very much and the hard work you guys put in to make it happen every month, and I try to make it every month when I can, and you guys should too. So
yeah, there's so many talented people in Corvallis, and I recommend coming and seeing them perform.
I think everyone's getting better every time. And
yeah, and that's the thing, is it's like very living room style. Like you can come and just play a song that you've been practicing for a couple of days. You can, you know, just work on things. Like it's not something where you have to have a polished piece and we're like all going to judge. It's just there to be and to hold, and we're really, really grateful to kind of hold the space. It's been amazing.
So you guys, so people can play all types of music, from original music to cover music to instrumental to singing.
And there's all different ages, and that's really fun.
Yeah, we try to keep it, you know, all ages as much as possible, just so that everyone who wants to participate, no matter what age they are, they can come and feel comfortable to do so. But
I got to hold a little baby today.
Oh my god, you had the tiniest little baby.
That was amazing.
Just don't drop it.
No dropping babies.
But also, babies will be dropped here.
All right, well, is there anything else you guys want to say? Maybe tell them when and where this event takes place.
So this event takes place at the Old World Deli. And it's every
first Sunday of the month. Sign-ups start at 4:30, and we start at 5 prompt. And we had so many people tonight that we did one song to kind of accommodate everyone. We try to shoot for two songs, but it depends on how many people come. So whoever's here, we try to give them space to do something.
Sweet. And you guys go till?
We go till 8:30.
Okay, sweet. So tune into the next one, show up to the next one, and whether you're a musician or just a fan of music, and support local music and support local venues and artists.
Yay!
And this has been Phil Farrell with Kaylin.
Hello.
And Allie.
And Allie.
Come and play with us. Yay!
So it's Phil Farrell, still at the open mic at Old World Deli, and we're outside with
William Yates of Plastic Trash.
Right on.
Butler, our drummer, is putting away some gear right now.
Right on. So what do these open mics mean to you, specifically this one, and maybe others with?
The ones I've been to are here in Balms, and they're great. I think they're essential. I really wish there were more open mics in this town, or, you know, more frequent ones, because I feel like the energy is here and mm-hmm. we have a lot of talent. I mean, tonight we had people doing one song only because the list was so full, and I think that's a good problem to have. Yeah. But I mean, open mics here and elsewhere are the reason I'm performing as a musician.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Just to be up, be able to get on stage and be heard, and not to have to already have a name for yourself, but to just get up there and get some experience and exposure, I think is very important to a lot of artists, and I'd agree. And so anything else you'd like to say about this event here at Old World Deli?
Just thank you to everyone who performs and everyone who works to make this possible. It's a big effort for a business, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, sweet.
Have a good night, Phil.
Yeah, you too.
Got you in there. I've got some food.
This is Phil Farrell for KORC outside the Old World Deli at the open mic event, and I'm here with
Drew Robertson.
And how do you feel about the events like this? Like, what do you got to say?
Well, it's like if you're like a songwriter, probably anyone who wants to show your stuff and you're up and coming, or maybe a hobbyist. Otherwise, you would just do it at home for yourself, maybe for your family. And if you're maybe had some presumption, you might have like a party to feature your own self. Otherwise, I don't know where else I would exhibit my songs, for instance, mm-hmm. except at an open mic. And this is a particularly good one. And people seem to listen here at Old World Deli. Yeah.
So this one specifically, and then do you go to any other open mics around here?
Yeah, there's a couple at Bombs Away.
I've seen you at Bombs a couple times.
Yeah, Bombs. And there's one at the, like, a community center. It's, I think, the second Fridays of the month. And it's like it's not a bar. It's kind of well-lit kind of place.
I've heard of that one. I haven't checked it out yet.
Yeah,
but
I've done it there. And I'm on a mailing list.
So there's not as many as you'd think and hope for. So
yeah, that's for sure.
We definitely, as artists and as fans of music, need to appreciate the opportunity. That's why I appreciate the open mics, just the opportunity to get on stage. I'd say every major artist probably started too at some point doing just open mics. And
I don't know about everyone.
Maybe not everyone, but I'd say the majority of them, because if you think about it, your first performance that the world hears probably wasn't their first performance ever. So I appreciate even the fact that it's practice, you get better every time.
Yeah, right. Especially the songwriters and like the hip hop artists and stuff like that. Yeah.
And
where else would they do it?
Exactly. There's not a lot of places you can get on stage, especially with no big name. Just get on and be able to share your talents and also see some crowd reaction and just share music with the people. And
I think a big part for myself is getting more relaxed playing in front of people.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I would say it took me about 20 of them to get somewhat relaxed and thinking I'll pull it off.
Yeah, I still get a little nervous before every performance. There's still that feeling of anxiousness all day. But I'd say overall, like today I'm performing later, I feel pretty relaxed now because for the fact I've done these almost every month. And I think it really helps just routinely just getting into the feel of performing on stage and getting used to that feeling. So I agree, definitely.
Yeah, of course, there's always those that are just, they kill it their first, second time too. There are those kind of talents.
Yeah.
It's not me.
I wasn't the best my first performance, but it was overall good. And I've had bad nights and I've had good nights, but I think it's all about just getting up there and performing. And that's another part, just knowing what works and maybe what doesn't work and kind of fine tune your performance. And I think everyone, I'd say I come here usually every month, and I'd say the regulars are definitely getting better every month just through practice and I think motivation of seeing the other performers. And I definitely like the energy here, and I feel like we all kind of better ourselves and motivate each other. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, good energy here at the Old World Deli with this mm-hmm. this open mic, yeah.
Okay, so remind us one more time your name.
Drew Robertson.
And you play guitar, correct?
I play, well, after a fashion, I play guitar, but I write songs, yeah.
Okay. Do you record any of them?
Yeah, sometimes. You can find me on YouTube. Look, if you Google Drew Robertson, Downtown Girls, and then you'll get me up. And
so let's put one on from Drew Robertson, local Corvallis artist.
She'd save her pennies up for candy, but soon I'll sell her brandy. She would come in with her daddy, but that was long ago. I remember her in diapers. Now she's tall and fights off vipers, made of the finest fiber. Just look into her eye. As newlyweds we bought this grocery. It's been tight, but I'd say mostly we get some satisfaction helping locals with their needs. An apartment up above us and food, yes, in abundance. We wanted to have children, but we couldn't plant the seed. Search any corner of this big blue world. There must be many others, much like this downtown girl. And wishes aren't so helpful, but still I wish you would. And a shining future for all the downtown girls. Some kind of ballerina in the park one day I seen her. She leapt across the bandstand. Who knew that girls could fly? But she comes in with her hair up, and I watch her nostrils flare up when she looks at the newspapers, and they don't give peace a try. Search any corner of this big blue world. There must be a million others, much like this downtown girl. And wishes aren't so helpful, but still I wish the world. And a shining future for all the downtown girls. Well, the seas are rising higher, and half the world's on fire. Why the men who hold the power just make guns and longer walls. And while they do the scheming, you know the downtown girl is dreaming. Through thick and thin and warm peace, you know she will stand tall. Search any corner of this big blue world. Must be 10 million others, much like this downtown girl. And wishing's not so helpful, but still I wish to work. And a shining future for all the downtown girls. Let our glasses clink and have a drink for all the downtown girls.
That was local Corvallis artist Drew Robertson. That one was called Downtown Girls.
So I'm Phil For Real outside of the Old World Deli at the open mic, and I'm here with
Annabella from Blue Essence.
All right, so you just performed up there. It's a good job, I'd like to say. And what do you think about these open mics? Like, how important are they to you as an artist?
They're super important. I was actually trying to get a bunch of people out to this because I think it's a really great way to foster the local live music scene. It's open for anyone to play. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a great way just to get out there, get some experience, get some exposure, be heard. And yeah, I think your performance is great. And so you were in a band, correct?
Very nice.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm in a band. We're called Blue Essence, where I call us kind of bluesy alternative rock.
Okay, sweet. And people can find your music online, maybe?
Yeah, you can find our music under Blue Essence on all streaming platforms. And Blue Essence the band is our Instagram handle.
All right, sweet. Anything else you'd like to say?
Keep the Corvallis music scene alive. Yeah.
Sweet. Thank you.
There were many performers during this open mic of many genres, many instruments.
Like I do. Ooh.
Even KORC's civics reporter Nick Martin got on stage as part of a duet. And eventually, it was my turn to get on stage. Yeah.
Check, check, mic check.
Live at the Old World Deli, this is KORC.
Hey, you go by the name of Phil For Real. Shout out to everybody out there today. Yeah. Just summed up my new project. 2024 real. Let's go. Yeah. Into this physical world, into dimension we in. Seven definitions of deadly heavenly sin. I've got all of them within. Act like I'm not included. When I say, Lord, forgive them. Whatever become, who am I kidding? Been this way ever since the beginning of life and history. Check the book that was written. Wasn't long before Lucifer tricked them. They had it simpler back then. Only the fruit was forbidden. Nowadays, it's like the truth is forbidden. It's like the truth has been hidden. Trying to show the youth it's not about how much success you get. It's how you did it. To the hoodlums and the misfits. Going up against odds, ridiculous. Take a break from the game, don't risk it. I know you got a ride and there's no free tickets. Just be careful and think for a minute. Yeah. Cause you know, I get it. I've been there. Just gotta think. Hey. See, I used to be just like you. Detention after school, no extra credit. Just a backpack, a weed, and a teacher fetish. Smoking on top of the roof, late night sessions. Nowadays, saying to myself, don't answer questions. Thank God for my blessings. Still messed up on the curb, concrete confessions. Yeah. Hey. We're supposed to enjoy our lives from the start to the end, but now we don't enjoy the game. Word to word about who's winning. I need to take a break like the beginning of the seventh inning. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. So again, I go by the name of Phil For Real. As of my new upcoming project, 2020 For Real, just finishing up some last minute things on there, but it's pretty much done. Also, I got a show on KORC every Thursday night at 10 p.m., every Saturday night at 11 p.m., For Real for the Radio, hip-hop mix. Speaking of KORC, we got a fundraiser coming up here at the Old World Deli the 24th of this month, so please come there. And thank you.
I said that kind of weird. So yeah, please join us at the KORC concert / fundraiser to support the station. A few local bands playing. So yeah, that's on the 24th. This has been Phil For Real reporting from the Old World Deli's open mic, which takes place the first Sunday of every month. Music starts at 5 p.m. If you're an artist, you might want to show up a little early because the sign-up sheet was filling up quick last time. And even if you're showing up just to watch some music, you still might want to show up a little early because it gets crowded. So yeah, it's a fun time. It's a great time just to get out there. As a hip-hop artist, I really appreciate it. The fact that they let me go up there and just do my music. You know, some places aren't always the most accepting when it comes to hip-hop music, but they've been very open and the crowd has been very great. So shouts out to everyone who showed up there. Whether you're an artist, a fan in the crowd, a little bit of both, or someone working at the Old World Deli, shouts out to them. And yeah, you've been listening to KORC Civics and News. This is Phil For Real. Till next time. Yeah, peace.
You're listening to KORC. I'm Nick Martin. With Dan Rayfield making a run for Oregon Attorney General this year, the seat that represents our town in the State House, District 16, is open for the taking. And looking to fill that seat is local Corvallis board member Sarah Finger McDonald, a longtime local and activist. Sarah has spent much of her political life advocating for gun safety and education while raising a family in a town she's called home for over 20 years. I had the opportunity to sit down at her home and talk with her about her campaign. Here it is. What made you decide to run for District 16?
So, I really got my start in Oregon politics working on gun violence prevention issues. I did that after talking to my son after the Sandy Hook shooting, and he, of course, had lots of questions, and most of them were why. And I realized talking to him that the only thing I could really tell him was, I will work hard to make this better. Mm-hmm. And so, I went on to found the Oregon chapter of Moms Demand Action, and I currently serve on the board of the Oregon Alliance for Gun Safety. So that's been an important issue for me and continues to be. And then I ran for the school board after experiencing the challenges of getting services for my daughter who has learning differences. And realizing if this process is hard for me, it's probably darn near impossible for other families mm-hmm. who aren't, the pushy white woman who is comfortable navigating an education system. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I wanted to be involved in helping remove barriers so that, my daughter, that learning how to read wasn't a privilege. Mm-hmm. And it was what everybody got to do. And so I've been on the board for 7 years. And then the seat came open. And it really felt like an opportunity to work on the issues that I've already been working on at the state level, because I know there's some things that we can't solve locally. And then also to bring in other issues like access to healthcare and housing and the environment that also are impacting families and communities that I think are an important part to really building our communities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned your work with Moms Demand Action. Mm-hmm. You were there in 2013. You were the head of the Oregon chapter.
So initially when moms start, it totally was grassroots starting. Mm-hmm. And initially we had small local chapters. So there was a Portland chapter that formed and I started the Mid-Willamette chapter at the same time. And those chapters then combined when they started doing statewide chapters.
Okay, okay. And then now you're the current board member of Oregon Alliance for Gun Safety. Mm-hmm. Can you outline your approach to addressing gun violence?
I think there are sort of two pieces. One is that we need to have stronger gun legislation. It was shocking to me when I started looking into this at just how horrible our gun laws were. And then we also need to work to support, groups that are doing violence interruption and groups that are doing suicide prevention. So one of the things that led me to the Oregon Alliance for Gun Safety is, one, being able to work on things we could do in Oregon, because what we can do nationwide as part of a nationwide organization is different than focusing on individual states. We really do need to solve this problem on the federal level, but for right now, we'll do what we can here. And so really working and looking at legislation that would pass and that would work in Oregon, and then also, really building an alliance and bringing people in, working with communities that are disproportionately impacted by gun violence, whether that's, communities of color or veterans who have a ridiculously high suicide rate in Oregon. So really kind of having a broad approach to addressing gun violence with a very Oregon focus.
Okay. And you had mentioned some of your work on the Corvallis School Board. Mm-hmm. What are some of the issues you see with education in our community, and how will your experience on the board prepare you to address those in the State House?
The biggest thing that I think we need to work on at the state level is how we fund education. We have a 30-year-old model that we use to determine continuing service levels that doesn't reflect the student population that we have today. We just have students with a lot more needs than the model is really built to support. Maybe it caps funding for students at IEPs at levels that are lower than we actually experience in our district. So working on things like that, just the like how do we decide how much money schools need? And then there are other issues like right now there's a big push to increase literacy, which is something that is really important to me because I have a child with dyslexia. And that's something that we need to work on it at the district and school level in making sure that we have curriculum that's appropriate for teaching learning and is really science-based, and that our universities are teaching teachers how to teach reading. Mm-hmm. So it's there's sort of multi-prongs of solving some of these education problems that it's hard to do just in Corvallis.
You mentioned science-based approach. You said you're a PhD in horticulture. How could that help you with doing this?
So, I mean, the science-based approach with reading is that that comes from, we really know a lot more about how the brain works and how we learn how to read. And for a long time, the curriculums that were taught, the way teachers were taught how to read really wasn't based on that science. And so there's a big push now to change how we teach reading to, because it will help all students, not just students with learning differences. But for me, as somebody who's trained as a scientist, even though right now I work with students rather than as a scientist, as a trained scientist, I like evidence and data. And I also am aware of sources of evidence and data. So as I make decisions, I'm going to be looking at the information I have critically. I will be willing to talk, to people I agree with and people I disagree with, and bring that information together to really work on making informed decisions. And I really want to work at making sure that as I'm making decisions, that I talk to the people who policies are going to impact. And make a real effort to intentionally invite discussions with people who my decisions will impact, who often are left out of discussions.
Okay. Corvallis and state of Oregon, and honestly the whole country, there is a homelessness crisis.
Right.
Can you elaborate on your vision for how to tackle houselessness and housing discrimination?
So, I mean, I think there's the issue of houselessness, and there's the issue of just housing availability.
Mm-hmm.
I think with the housing availability, we need to do make a concerted effort to invest in infrastructure so that we can support densification of existing housing, and as we build housing within our existing urban growth boundaries, that we are building it in a way that's dense, where people have access to public transportation and alternatives to your single vehicle driving places, where we have a range of housing that meets the needs for people at various economic levels. So we have a mixture of, I don't want to rely on single family housing. I want to have apartments and townhouses and duplexes and single family housing so that we build communities that are economically diverse and more sustainable because we build it in a dense way with, good infrastructure in place. So that's the sort of access to housing issue. With homelessness or houseless, unhoused people, there's sort of the people we see who are the unhoused people, and then the people like families that we know we have families in our school district who are unhoused, and how do we serve the needs of varying populations of people who need access to housing. And one thing I think we really need to do is, as we provide housing and shelter, we do it in a way where it is really connected with wraparound services, so you can address the issues that have led someone to be unhoused. And we need to work at, we have lots of different organizations working on this issue, and I would really like to see a way to get everybody to work together in a more sort of planned and thoughtful way. Mm-hmm. And there are issues with like families with who are unhoused, where if you're living close to the economic edge, there are things like healthcare crises that can cause a family to lose their home. So there are all these sort of societal issues that I feel like by addressing healthcare and access to healthcare, we can help keep families in their homes. And the Corvallis School District, because we've gotten really generous funding from the community through the Corvallis Public Schools Foundation, has programs in place where we provide emergency grants to families so that they don't lose their housing. And I would like to see the expansion of that kind of program so we don't have families become unhoused. We can keep families in their housing, make sure that they have the services and support they need. Because it's a lot easier to help a family when they have a house to live in mm-hmm. than when they're unhoused and you may have a hard time keeping track of that family and those kids.
You kind of touched on this a little bit. I'm curious, how will you engage and stay connected with the people that you'll represent here in our community?
Yeah, this is something I've sort of thought about on a high level because first I have to get elected. I would welcome constituents to come talk to me in Salem. Mm. I would love to do things like, have coffees in town halls like our current elected officials do. I would participate in the League of Women Voters forums that they have during the session. I would really like to reach out to like high school students and students because I feel like, I grew up in a very political city, but totally disengaged from especially local politics. And I would like to, encourage our students to be involved and to see you participating in the political process, either as advocates or, eventually running for office, is something that's, accessible to them. One of the sort of really rewarding things that I've been part of working on the school board is working with our student representatives to the board. And those students are amazing. And they ask questions that are important and insightful and that the adults in the room might not have thought about. So I just want to encourage that kind of involvement.
What are your plans for engaging and working with people with opposing viewpoints? How will you work with your fellow representatives on the other side of the aisle?
So, I got my start in Oregon politics working on gun violence prevention issues. I'm used to having hard conversations mm-hmm. with people who disagree with me. It's nice when they're not armed when we have those discussions. I am willing to talk to and listen to people who I don't agree with. I think a lot of times when you talk to somebody, you realize we have the same goals. Our approach to it is different. Mm-hmm. And so I think being willing to listen to people and what their approach might be, even if you don't end up agreeing with them, just broadens your understanding of issues and possibilities. So I will be, very willing to engage with and talk to people who disagree with me or sit across the aisle from me, because I feel like that's part of the process.
Mm-hmm. I have a couple more questions. They're somewhat related. What are some of your core values that guide your decision making?
this sounds kind of odd. Well, I guess it doesn't sound odd. So I am I was raised Catholic. I consider myself a faithful Catholic, but not a institutional Catholic. Mm-hmm. And what is sort of central to my thinking about what makes me Catholic is that we're all people of God and we're really here to take care of each other. And not to judge each other. And so that sort of centers a lot of things in my life. One of the values that I would like to carry with me as I approach lawmaking in Salem.
Mm-hmm. Then with that, what personal struggles have you experienced that will help you in your work as a state representative?
So, the most sort of immediate is that since February of 2021, I have battled colon cancer twice.
Okay, wow.
And so access, you know, I understand what it's like for a family to face a, you know, a real crisis. When I was first diagnosed, my then 15-year-old's first question was, can we afford your care? And that, you know, we were very lucky that we both work for OSU, we have good insurance. That was not going to be a concern for us, but it really sort of brought home the, you know, just, extreme problems that a health crisis could cause for a family, because if you're trying to decide between care and rent, you know, it's going to impact everyone in the family. So that's, you know, I think that has, and I think, you know, pretty much anyone who's battled cancer, it sort of puts things in perspective in a big way. So that's had a big impact on me, especially going through it twice.
No, that's no small thing.
So, but then, you know, I'm also, you know, I'm a parent and I've dealt with, you know, I dealt with, you know, how hard it was to have kids home through the whole pandemic and what the long-term effects I see on my kids, even though my kids, you know, on a scale of things, they're doing really well, it has impacted them and they're sort of interactions with the world. So I think just sort of my life experience, you know, as a parent and as and with the students I work with and seeing their struggles, just gives me a level of empathy for you, how hard it is sometimes for families just to get through day to day.
Sure, sure. And I mean, you mentioned after Sandy Hook that you had to have that conversation with your children.
My kids. Yeah, and you know, we have talks about active shooter drills and those kinds of things. And you know, I'm from the generation that never hid under a desk. I didn't have to hide under a desk for, you know, fallout or any of, you know, my mom talks about doing. And now my kids are hiding under desks for active shooter drills and just how traumatic that can be for some kids. You know, I feel like our kids are growing up in a world that feels less secure than the world that I grew up in. And I would like to change that.
Sure. Yeah, clearly. I mean, you've definitely been doing the work to do that up to now. And it seems like you're very connected with the community. I mean, you've been in Corvallis since 2000, right? How will you, I kind of asked this before, but, you know, how will you, if you enter the state house, keep that feeling of community alive, keep that connection?
I mean, I live here and I have kids in school here. This is home. These are where I've lived here for 23 years. I have, you know, dear friends here. Corvallis is always going to be, you know, the luxury of being 45 minutes from Salem is I will be coming home during sessions. So yeah, I just think by the nature of you know, who I care about, you know, the people who are most important to me are living in this community. So I don't know how I would lose that connection.
Yeah. I mean, you know, 24 years living here. It's a long time.
It's a long time.
Yeah. It's a long time to get roots. Okay. Do you have any concluding remarks? Anything else you'd like to say before we wrap it up?
I mean, I think I just really look forward to the opportunity to work with my constituents in Corvallis and in Adair Village on the issues that are impacting our community. I think Oregon is a state that has so much beauty and potential. And we just really need to put the work in and be sort of forward looking and think about long term goals. One of the things about having teenagers is that they tell you what they think. And I've been told on more than one occasion how frustrated they are with adults who make short term band-aid policy decisions. And so, you know, having heard that loud and clear, you know, I really want to go to Salem and work at moving us forward in a way that's really looking at our long-term possibilities rather than short-term fixes to problems.
That was Sarah Finger McDonald running for state representative of District 16. The primaries will be held this May, after which the general election will be in November. This was Nick Martin with KORC.
KORC listeners, this is JC. I'd like to highlight an artist who passed last week named Wayne Kramer, who was the lead guitarist from MC5. And I would like to feature some information about him after you hear a song by the MC5 called American Ruse.
Trying to be free, they never let you. They said it's easy, nothing to it. And now the army's out to get you. 69 American terminal stasis. The air's so thick, it's like I'm drowning in molasses. I'm sick and tired of paying these dues. And I'm finally getting hip to the American ruse. I'm gonna say the pledge of allegiance before they beat me bloody down at the station. They haven't got a word out of me since I got a billion years probation. 69 American terminal stasis. The air's so thick it's like drowning in molasses. I'm sick and tired of paying these dues. And I'm sick to my guts of the American ruse.
Was Wayne Kramer, the lead guitarist for MC5 or Motor City 5, who passed away last week, with his contribution to the song American Ruse from 1969 by MC5. He, along with his bandmates, the late Rob Tyner, who delivered his gritty lead vocals, the late Fred Sonic Smith, guitarist and husband of the godmother of punk, Patti Smith, the late Michael Davis, the bassist, and the late Dennis Thompson, nicknamed Machine Gun for his assault style of drumming, comprised the band MC5. Wayne's passing marks the last of the band to have survived. MC5 was important to rock and roll because of their early contributions to punk music and influence on counterculture musicians worldwide, such as the White Stripes, Motorhead, the Ramones, the Clash particularly, as well as The Who, the Rolling Stones, and many, many others. MC5 worked with and was influenced by John Sinclair, a Flint, Michigan poet who formed the White Panther Party to align with the Black Panthers. He created an edict that MC5 used to form the basis from which their musical style, lyrics, and beat were comprised. He also managed the band in their early days of Kick Out the Jams fame. His philosophy included aspects of radical freedom, such as, quote, "We want justice. We want a free world economy. We want a clean planet. We want a free educational system. We want to free all structures from corporate rule. We want free access to all information, media, and technology. We want the freedom of all people who are being held against their will in the constricted armies of the oppressor throughout the world," unquote. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison for selling 2 joints to an undercover police officer, and MC5, along with many other famous activists, held a long-term campaign to get him freed. Wayne Kramer considered himself a, quote, "small-time Detroit criminal," unquote, who was busted in the early 70s for drug possession and spent several years in federal prison in Kentucky. When he was freed, he branched out as a solo artist and began a program called Jail Guitar Doors, which brought music and hope to incarcerated individuals and still functions today as part of Wayne's legacy. The name of the program was taken from a song about Wayne by The Clash called the same, Jail Guitar Doors, from 1977. I'm going to feature that song next, so you can hear the lyrics about Wayne and his experience with the system.
Let me tell you.
That was The Clash with their song Jail Guitar Doors from 1977, highlighting Wayne Kramer's experience with the system from MC5. You can hear more about Wayne Kramer's story and MC5 if you go online to npr.org, click on the Fresh Air tab, and type in Remembering Wayne Kramer, founder of the MC5 online. This is JC, and you're listening to KORC 105.9 LPFM, streaming online at korcfm.com.